The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to get into talking about spiritual warfare. You know, when you're in war, it's really important to declare war. And I got to tell you that our nation has not been very good at that since World War II. In fact, we have not declared war since 1941. And yet, we've been in all kinds of conflicts. Most people refer to them as wars, but they were never declared as war. It doesn't mean that we didn't have the consequences of war. It just means that our nation has never recognized it as war. Now, isn't that a crazy thing? But you know what? I see the same thing happening in the Church of Christ. We are not declaring war on the enemy. For some reason, we seem to think that if we don't declare war, the enemy will leave us alone. Well, let me tell you something. That's not the kind of enemy you have. He knows it's war, whether you think it is or not. According to the Department of Veteran Affairs, as of May of 2015, 152,000 Americans have died in conflicts that we refuse to call war. And when I parallel that with the church, I see casualty after casualty after casualty because we're not declaring war. I want you to understand the enemy is winning when it comes to addiction in the church. The enemy is winning when it comes to relationships and marriage in the church. He's winning when it comes to dividing and conquering the body of Christ. He's winning. He doesn't have to win. He shouldn't be winning. These things should not happen. When there's a real move of God, people are set free. People are delivered. Relationships are mended. People are brought back into the kingdom of God where they've strayed. There is a newness of life in Jesus Christ. But we just continue to play patty cake with the enemy. We think that he's a cartoon character dressed in red with a long tail and a pitchfork. Well, my goal this morning is to talk to you about what he really is. And we're going to go into some. My message this morning is Origins. This is the title of this particular message. And I want to talk to you about the origin of our enemy. And I want everyone in here to understand something. I am not glorifying the enemy. Now, one of the things that I'm very conscious of, and I try my very best, that when people give testimonies, I want to make sure that they're testimonies of the Lord, of what God is doing in your life, not what the enemy. Sometimes if we allow people to give testimonies, the enemy gets more glory than God does. Well, you know, Satan's been on me. He's attacking me, and I'm just beat down. And well, wait a minute. Who's your God? Is it Satan? He's the God of this world. Or is your God Yahweh, the God of all creation? So, you know, I don't want to start out too harsh with you this morning, but I want you to understand that we've got to get back on track. I'm reminded of a little story that I heard about a warship that was cruising the coast. Somehow they lost their bearing. They got turned around. And they saw a light that was headed directly toward them. And they immediately called the admiral up. The admiral came up and he tried to make contact with him. He said, this is a warship. Identify yourself. Are you friendly or foe? They said, friendly. The admiral wired back to them and he said, okay, that's fine, but you know that we're a warship. Change your course. They wired back and said, no. The admiral was ticked off. So he wired back and he said, this is Admiral Jenkins. Change your course. He said, this is Colonel Jones. Change your course. He got really upset at this point, and he said, this is Admiral Jenkins of the USS Arizona. I command you to change your course. He said, this is Admiral Jones of the Lighthouse. Your call. Sometimes we lose our bearing in this war. We get turned around. And we suddenly realize that it's not their problem or someone else's problem or God's problem as much as it is our problem. And I want you to understand that this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of victory. When we come to the realization that it's our problem, that's when the healing begins. That's when restoration takes place. I made some mistakes, and I want to get back on track with my God. Well, as we talk about spiritual warfare this morning, and we talk about origins, I want you to know that I'm going to be talking about the enemy, Satan, where he came from, and we're eventually going to go to some theories about demons, demonic forces. I want you to know that there are demons. There was demons before Jesus came, and there was demons while Jesus walked the face of this earth. Those demons did not disappear after Jesus was resurrected. They're still here now, operating, controlling, and yes, possessing people. But most of all, they're lying. They're liars because their father, the enemy, Satan, is a liar. And when you come to the realization and you know that your enemy is a liar and the Word of God is truth, then you will begin to stand on the Word of God and you can overcome the lies and the wiles and the tactics of the enemy. John 10:10, I quote this often. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Actually says steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. When we recognize that we have an enemy that wants to do this, then we can identify his tactics and realize that we have something, weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God. They pull down strongholds and they cast down imaginations and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What I'm saying to you this morning is, this is war, and we as the body of Christ need to take it seriously. Okay, origins this morning. Origins of our enemy. Now, I'm going to share some scripture with you in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And what I want to share with you, these particular scripture have a dual meaning, and they're directed to two different entities. First of all, the human that is on the face of the earth, he will be talking to King of Babylon and the King of Tyre. But he is also, the Word of God is also speaking to the spiritual force that is behind the actions of these kings. And I want to say to you this morning that there is scriptural precedent for this. If you will turn with me to Genesis, right in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, right after man's fall. Now, we won't have this scripture on the screen, so you're going to have to either turn there, go to your iPad or phone, something, and pull up that scripture if you want to follow along with me. But anyhow, chapter 3, verse 14. Now, the serpent is tempted. Eve and Adam fell for it as well. They sinned against God. They ate from the fruit that he told them not to, of the knowledge of good and evil. And now God is passing out judgment. And he's speaking to the serpent. Now he says this. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life. The serpent allowed the spiritual force to use him to do this dastardly deed. And I will put enmity. Now here's where this switches not only from the physical speaking to the serpent, he also begins to speak to the spiritual realm and the force behind it. He's speaking directly to Satan now. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is a messianic prophecy, one of the first ones in the Bible. It's talking about the fact that God is going to send the Messiah to bruise the enemy, to put him under his feet. He's going to stand on his head. Yes, the Messiah is going to be bruised, but he's going to have victory by coming back to life and putting the enemy under his feet. All Bible scholars recognize this, or almost all, recognize this as a messianic prophecy. Now, the reason I share this with you is because this is a dual message. It's speaking to the physical entity, the serpent, and to the spiritual entity, Satan, at the same time. Now, we're going to go to Isaiah 14. You can go to that if you want. We should have it on the screen. Do we have those scriptures? Nope. Okay. Turn to Isaiah 14, verse 12. I'm actually just going to read through 14, 12 through 14. How you are fallen. Now listen, I want to make sure that everybody understands. This prophecy or this word is going to the king of Babylon. But it also is speaking to the spiritual force behind him. And it's talking directly to the spiritual enemy that we have. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, what we need to recognize is that when he's speaking of Lucifer here, he's speaking directly to the original rebellion. Lucifer was the name of our enemy, Satan. He is the son of the morning. Lucifer actually means light bearer. Shining one, morning star. Our enemy was originally the bearer of the light of God. He was in direct contact with God. He was around the throne of God. He knew God intimately. He was the son of the morning. And a son, the word ben means son, grandson, a child. In Genesis, we see that when Rachel was having Benjamin, which his name eventually became, she actually died from childbirth. And because of that, she named him Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. But his father, he didn't like that name. So he changed his name to son of the right hand, Benjamin. What we need to recognize is that God has sons as well. Not just sons and daughters in his kingdom. But he also has spiritual created sons that he refers to in the scripture. We refer to them as angels. But we know that he calls them sons because in Job chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Now, I just told you about a name being changed. We know that God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Jacob's name. God is in the business of when people's hearts change, he changes their name. And the same thing happens when a person or a thing, a spiritual being like Satan, his name was Lucifer, he is now being called Satan, which means adversary. So the enemy who was once the bearer of light is now the adversary or the one who rebelled against the living God. In this scripture, he says, the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. It's important that we see that the sons of God, the angels, and we know they're angels because the word here is Ben Ha Elohim, sons of Elohim, or sons of God. In the Septuagint version of the Bible, it literally translates it, angels of the Lord. Sons of God as angels of the Lord. And Satan as a former son now presents himself before God. He still has access to the throne of God. You have to understand, he is a spiritual being. He comes and goes from heaven. Comes and goes from the throne of God. And he has authority to enter in, the ability to enter into the presence of God. Yes, he was cast out of heaven. We believe that he was cast out of heaven. But he also is still allowed to enter in, according to the scripture, enter into the presence of God. And what's his purpose? He comes there to accuse the brethren. That's what Revelation 12:10 tells us. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I'm glad there's two people in here that think that's awesome. Hallelujah. Listen, this is the enemy of our soul. And God has already told us he's been cast down. He's been cast out. He is already under our feet. And we're going to find that out as we go through this teaching, that the enemy is not as powerful as he thinks he is and some Christians think he is. But I will tell you this. He is superhuman. He's a supernatural being. And yes, in our own power and in our own authority, he's stronger than we are. That's why we have the blood of Christ. The blood is what defeats him. The blood is what causes us to be overcomers. The blood is what causes us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. We'll go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Once again, this is speaking to the king and speaking to the spiritual force. The Lord of the Word came to me again saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God. Okay, turn over to verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Okay, here's some things that we are learning from these scriptures. First of all, we find out that the enemy, his name was Lucifer to begin with. He was the bearer of light. He is the created son of God. He rebelled against God, is now the adversary of God and man. And in this scripture, we find out that he is beautiful. Now, we have this image of Satan being so nasty and gnarly looking that we don't want to look up on him. But according to this, he is beautiful. And the Word of God says he comes as an angel of light, that he'll deceive us. So we have to be very careful in what we have of an image of Satan. He was not only beautiful, but he was also musical. Timbrel, a tambourine. He had pipes. I think that's probably the reason we see such a distortion in music these days, is because the enemy is behind it all. And he was a covering cherub. A cherub is an angelic being, a guardian of the throne of God. So he was in the presence of God. Now let me give you some New Testament names of Satan. Do we have that? Okay, there we go. If you want to write any of these references down, keep them. Ruler of demons, God of this world, devil, accuser, prince of the power of the air, roaring lion, serpent, dragon, adversary, tempter, the anointed cherub that covers, Beelzebub, Belial, wicked one. Now, here's what I want to make sure that everybody understands. Truly, Satan is a supernatural, superhuman force that we have to deal with. A created being that was created by God. And he rebelled against the living God. He does have power. And you can see his power and his authority in this world at work every day. But I do not believe that in the dualist theology, where Satan and God are dueling it out and they have equal power, our God is in control. And the enemy, amen, give God glory. Our God is in control. And even though it looks like the enemy has the upper hand, God is still in control. The enemy thinks he's manipulating and controlling situations and controlling people. In reality, God is manipulating and controlling the acts of the enemy. And when he does things, if we will cry out to the living God and recognize who we are in Jesus Christ, and know that we have authority, we will see the power of the enemy broken right before us. Yes, we will walk in the power and authority that God has given us in Jesus Christ. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do we believe? Do we believe we can lay hands on the sick? Do we believe that these things, we're going to speak with new tongues? Do we believe that these things are going to happen, that miracles are going to take place? Do we believe that the power of the enemy is going to be squelched because we are the ambassadors of Christ in this earth? Yes, Do we believe? We got to stir it up and believe it. I'm trying to stir it up inside of you this morning. It's real. We can stand on the Word of God. We can believe. We can walk into the pits and against the gates of hell, and they shall not prevail against us. Those gates are put in place to try to keep believers from conquering hell. Hell is a force that is already conquered. And the more we remind the enemy of that, the angrier he becomes. But I want to tell you something, it's not going to make any difference in the way he attacks you. He's still going to attack. He hates you. He hates you because you are the apple of God's eye. He hates you because you are created in the image of the living God. You are created in a way that he never was created. You are created as God's best. And the enemy hates you for it. He's going to do everything he can to try to stop you. And when we come to the realization that we have an enemy that he is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, we will have more victory in the church. I'm going to say that again. We'll have more victory in the church. Amen. We need victory in the church. Hallelujah. Oh man, I'm running out of time. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I've got so much more to share with you. I want to talk about some theories of where demons come from. Do you know that there's a lot of theories out there about demons? Everybody know that? Some of you, I mean, you may have been just taught one. But there's a lot of different theories out there about demons. I want to share that with you. Some of them, I think, you know, there may be some validity to it, but every one of them, from a scriptural standpoint, are just theories. So when I share these things with you, I want you to understand that I'm sharing theory, and in some cases, I'm sharing my particular thoughts about it and belief system. But the bottom line is this. It really doesn't matter where they come from. They're real. They've been around for a long, long time. Their goal is to disrupt your life. They're imps of the enemy. They're at his disposal. And their purpose is to do exactly what Satan came to do. Destroy your life. And we can overcome them in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. I'm going to give you an assignment this morning. So we're going to talk about some things next week. You guys can look it up. Maybe you'll have some knowledge. Maybe you've heard of this. And this has to do with demons and the theory of demons. The gap theory. You can write this down if you want. The next one is the evil human theory. Then the third one is fallen angels theory. And the last one that I want you to do, I want you to read Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Because within that, there is a theory about demons and where they came from. Now, you're going to have to go home and do some research. I'm just giving you some things to do. And next week, I'll have some information. I'm going to share it with you. But I want you to do some work. I'm sorry, Susie, you need something? The second one, evil human theory. Gap theory, evil human theory, fallen angels, and then Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. All right. Now, the reason I share these things and I want you to do some study on your own, because, look, I want you to check me out. Don't just accept anything that any pastor or any preacher says to you. Search it out for yourselves. I'm human. I make mistakes. And some of these things are, you know, like I said, it's some of it's theory. And we just look at it. We try to make sense of it. To me, my mind works that I'm trying to make sense about how all this came to pass, how it happened. But the reality is it doesn't matter. We just know they are. We know that our God is stronger. We know that we have been given power and authority, and we're going to walk in it. Amen? But I think this is fun. Maybe some of you don't, but I think this stuff is fun. So this morning, I just want to share those things with you. Come back next week to have expectation of some of the things that we're going to talk about. Do some studying. Find out for yourself. Let's pray. Father God, I just praise you. I thank you that you stir the hearts of your people, that we recognize that we are in a fierce battle, but we're already seated at the right hand of our Lord in heavenly places. We have already been given power and authority in the name of Jesus. When I read those stories in the New Testament, the apostles being sent out, the disciples being sent out, and they said, even the demons are subject to us. Glory. But Jesus said to them, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, to them, but rejoice that your name has been written in the book of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Most important. Yes, we have authority, but we are in the kingdom of God. Father, thank you as we go from this place today. We'll hear from you. We'll walk before you. You have ordered our steps. This week, we're going forth in the name of Jesus to conquer all that the enemy would try to put before us. The snares and the schemes that the enemy has laid in front of us, Father God, you give us wisdom, insight, and understanding. We will be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Praise God.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.